in Washington, and that is Cameron Rhoda, and he has written a fabulous column that D.R. Tucker brought to my attention. It's titled Political Neglect of Global Warming Acts as Environmental Threat, and that really resonated with us because we really see that the political logjam is, you know, inexplicably a roadblock and an obstacle to progress that is so desperately needed. So we invited him on the show. Welcome to the Green Front, and I should say that you, Cameron, are a journalism and international studies student at Ohio State University, and I hope you're not too discouraged at the state of environmental journalism that you aren't thinking about changing your major. I can't say that it's been an easy road when I switched to from general news to environmental reporting, but it certainly is important and sometimes satisfying, sometimes frustrating as hell. But I really think you've got your finger on the pulse when you talk about how the only way to reverse direction and start combating climate change is with the American people. We couldn't agree more, and that Americans need to really understand what's at stake and start, you know, voting in a greener way to make sure that we have more sustainable practices, policies, programs, politicians, and presidents.
Absolutely. You know, I really think that the propaganda over, you know, the past decade that has been fed to a lot of people, and I use the term propaganda very seriously because people in America are very still unaware of the climate change issues that can occur later in their lives or, you know, in the lives of their children, their grandchildren. And they worry a lot more about, you know, pressing issues or issues that don't even have much much popularity or seriousness in the terms of where America goes. You know, like reality television is something that I see, at least as a college student, as a big popular, you know, center point in people's lives, and it's baffling to me, you know, that people can sit here and watch things that have no relevance to the future of our planet, our country, you know, the population of the world, and here people don't even understand that climate change is getting worse and nobody's doing anything about it.
It's interesting, Cameron, that you mentioned the issue of propaganda as we watch all this propaganda over in support of what I call the Triple XL pipeline, because it's going to screw everybody on the planet if it's built. What is your take on what strikes me anyway?
I just got that.
What is your take on what strikes me as the sort of the odd hype in favor of this pipeline? The USA Today editorial page supporting it, the Washington Post editorial page supporting it, Joe Nocera of the New York Times writing some, in my opinion, wildly and blatantly ignorant columns about it. Do you not find it a bit disturbing that there seems to be so much cheerleading for the pipeline in the press and so little talk about its risks?
I really do. I find it worrying because I think the biggest issue in America right now with regards to climate change is the fact that a lot of people see climate change and they worry about the economic repercussions of climate change and fixing the way that we emit our greenhouse gases. And it's the same thing with the pipeline. You know, I think the pipeline is going to be seen as a way for a lot of revenue to be generated, and it's seen as a way that we're not dependent on oil from overseas. That doesn't make it any better than if we were buying oil from any country over in the Middle East. The oil is oil, and CO2 is CO2. Regardless of where you purchase it from or where you generate it from, it is still going to emit the same gases that are going to continue to warm our atmosphere. And I think Americans are really, and especially politicians and newspapers endorsing this pipeline, are truly just, you know, looking for a cop out. You know, they want to say they're doing something to combat global warming or increase America's energy independence. And that's something I've heard so much in the election is energy independence. Well, energy independence is great. We should be reliable on only energy that we can produce. That makes our country a lot safer and a lot less reliant on more disruptive countries in the world. But that does not mean that we should be drilling for more oil or, you know, finding faster ways to drill for natural gas that still release methane into our atmosphere. And methane is just as dangerous. So I truly see it as a cop-out, in my opinion, on America's part, you know, media-wise and politically.
And one of the last gasps, I should say, of ridiculous right-wing fanaticism, I think, came from Pat Robertson this week. If we can play this clip of him calling those who would want to deal with climate change and our environment, Listen to this. Got to hear it from him.
You let these crazies get in charge of things, and they're doctrinaire. They aren't reasonable. They're fanatics. This is their religion. Their religion is destroying anything that may pollute the environment. It doesn't matter about jobs. It doesn't matter about the economic well-being of a community. All we care about is stopping particulate emissions.
Heaven forbid. All we care about is stopping pollution and climate change. That's so radical and religious of us, isn't it?
Good God, I tell you.
Cameron, comments?
Oh, I'm sorry. I've heard, you know, things like that from so many various right-wing politicians. And, you know, I like to stay nonpartisan because I believe that, you know, by showing more favoritism towards one side, it really takes away from what the American people can deduce on their own. But the point is, Republicans and everyone on the right wing, not everyone, but a majority of right wing conservatives have used this idea of, well, they don't care about jobs and they don't care about the economy. And that's not true, because this is something that is paramount to the sustainability of our country and of our planet. And okay, if you want us to worry about jobs right now, we'll worry about them now and quit worrying about climate change. But there won't be any jobs, or there will be places where people can no longer live that exist right now 20, 30 years from now. So it's baffling to me that people can, you know, believe someone like this. But the problem is that it's where people are getting their news from. The polarization in this country is at its peak that it's ever been since the revolution. And I truly think that that is playing a major role in the American people's lackadaisical opinions towards changing how we emit emissions throughout the country.
Polarization has never been worse politically, as you point out, as the polar ice caps melt. Unbelievable.
I'm sure you're aware of the group of Forecast the Facts, which is operated by our friend Brad Johnson, which is encouraging meteorologists around the country to point out the link between extreme weather events and climate change. Do you think that the local meteorologists will be able to get through to people, or do you think that in certain cases that might simply reaffirm denial? Because, for example, if you're a meteorologist in the very right wing part of the state and you point out that the risks, the connection between climate change and extreme weather events, you're likely to get a bunch of hate mail and death threats, basically.
I think it's difficult to say. First of all, the biggest thing to me is that a lot more people, including myself, are getting their weather news from apps on their iPhone or apps on their Android, and that's something that takes away from the popularity and viewership of the modern meteorologist. But there still are the people who watch, you know, their local news every night, and they get their weather news for the next day or the week from those meteorologists. I think that will be better in terms of advancing the intelligence that the American populace has on this issue, because meteorologists, in my mind, are seen as neutral most of the time. You know, they're there just to tell you the weather, and they don't really ever discuss much else on the news. So I think that's a good start. But ultimately, the issue that we have to tackle and get rid of is where the American people get their news. When you get your news from somewhere that is telling you an opinionated point of view about something that doesn't necessarily back up factually, that's something that is causing the American people to be ignorant on this issue. So it's going to take more than just meteorologists. I think it's a great idea, but, you know, the media and advocates like us are truly going to have to dig deep and think what ways we can truly connect with the American people in a way that they won't consider it a partisan, you know, opinion.
Cameron, one of the reasons I want to have you on is it's great to hear the perspective of a young person, especially an aspiring journalist. What would you say is the concern level among your colleagues just in college? I imagine when An Inconvenient Truth came out in 2006, if that's when you saw it, or I presume you have seen it since anyway, you were still, you know, in what, elementary or middle school. Would it have occurred to you at that time that you saw that film or found out about the facts of climate change that in 2013 we'd still be having this kind of, quote, debate from the deniosaurs?
It's pretty saddening to me. I'm not going to lie to you. I've been writing a lot about climate change. I've written many research papers in high school and into college. It's a topic that I truly am passionate about. And there's great reason for that. I personally, the opinions that I see regarding climate change are mixed. You have, and I say mixed in the sense that a lot of people in college right now that I see myself around don't particularly care that much to talk about politics, climate change, the economy. A lot of people don't want to talk about negativity, or they don't want to talk about things that have a serious nature about them. So, but then on the contrary, there's also people who agree with me, or agree that we need to do something about climate change. It's very mixed, though, you know, and it's hard because I see more and more people of my age and in my generation showing less and less interest and passion about these kind of issues. And it worries me for our future because I truly don't know who is going to, you know, lead in the future if so many more people of our, or my generation, excuse me, are showing such a lack of interest and a lack of caring about climate change.
It's a very profound observation. I want to go back to the Forward on Climate rally, the Sierra Club rally on February the 17th, and I was struck by the number of younger people there, and I think the main point that struck me about that is that, you know, this is a visual representation of the people, you know, we'll all be affected, but the younger generation is going to be affected the most. When you mention that there's a certain level of apathy on your campus of the people who are concerned, does it transcend partisan lines, or are the, you know, the college Republican types just as denialist as the Fox News folks?
I think of the people who truly can empathize about global warming, the majority of Republicans that I come across kind of take the stance of they're not adamant against it, and they're not going to advocate for it, but I think that they truly recognize that this is no longer and never should have been a partisan issue. This is a humanity issue. This is not even an American issue. And in order for us to truly, you know, reverse the effects, and some are already irreversible, but to reverse the effects, it's going to take Republicans and Democrats. So that's encouraging to me. Like I said earlier, the apathy of a lot of people in my age scares me, but the people who do care and who are interested in politics and who are interested in, you know, climate change are truly, I think, finally recognizing. And that might be the one, you know, golden thing you can take out of this, the fact that we're in 2013 and still in this position. At least I can see a movement in my generation of the people who truly care about politics, that they're recognizing this is no longer an issue democratically or, you know, with Republicans. It's just a human issue that needs to be solved as soon as possible.
Could not agree more. And Cameron, you wrap up your column by saying the American population must step forward and set an example for the rest of the world to follow, leading with a green fist to preserve the well-being of all humans in the present and future. Very well put. I like that term, green fist. Hadn't seen that before. You are also an international studies student at Ohio State, in addition to journalism. Just last thoughts on, you know, what the rest of the world, you know, views as American, you know, head in the sand, ostrich mentality when it comes to climate change and political leadership or lack thereof.
I think the opinion outside of the United States, of the United States, is truly changing. And with the sequester occurring last Friday, it's not getting any better, in my opinion. I think people look at America to lead, and rightfully so, considering the amount of influence that America has had on, you know, Europe and just the Western world. But I think that if we don't start leading sooner or later on this issue, other countries are going to take the torch. But the unfortunate part about this is, while other countries take the torch in leading, they still are not the countries that are emitting the most. And that's the unfortunate part. We have to lead. We do not have a choice as the United States of America, because we are one of the highest emitting nations on this planet. And one of the arguments I hear from many right-wing or conservative politicians is, well, we're not, and this is how it's changed too. It used to be denial, and now they're saying, well, we're not the only ones emitting carbon dioxide. China and India, who are growing immensely and polluting our atmosphere, aren't going to change. So if we do something, it won't matter. And that's not the way to look at it. We need to look at it as we're leaders. We need to talk to our allies and our enemies and say, look, this is not an issue of war. This is not an issue of anything else other than saving this planet so our future generations can enjoy the same planet that we have and the same conditions that we've had since, you know, since humanity was, I don't know, created, I guess.
It's just, Cameron Rhoda and D.R. Tuckle. We'll have to end the segment on that note, but not without mentioning, since you did bring up sequester, the snowquester, as someone called it, going on right now, as the nation's capital gets blanketed in what looks like another epic storm. And then people on the right, on the talk shows, will say, global warming, what global warming, when we've got Snowmageddon? You know, they just should take a minute and read the science and see that this is all part of the plan in terms of predictions if we continue to ignore our emissions. So thanks so much for the work you're doing in college, and I hope you're going to go on to be a climate activist. We need you and all your peers. And DR, once again, thanks for joining.
Thanks.
We'll be right back.
Thank you for having me on.
You're listening to The Green Front.